Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Big Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Up the middle it goes. Is Xander Bogaerts behind the bag? Quick toss, close play, got him, and the Red Sox win it. Final score today, 8-2 here in Toronto. The Sox taking 3 out of 4. Rafael Devers with a terrific series. Great day for that man. Steve Pearce with a bomb in his last at bat. And the Red Sox win again. It is on to Houston, 8-2, the final score today.
You heard that right. Two day games this week against the Toronto Blue Jays. The opener and the finale today, the Red Sox won them both. They went 3 out of 4 from the Blue Jays. What was the final today again? The games that are on the air.
8-2.
Yeah, 8-2.
8-2 was the final? It's really hard to watch these games that are on the same time as the show. Like, it's just hard to dig in and get every detail of these games. Fortunately, the one on Monday and this one were both blowouts, so I don't know if there were any huge moments in them, but the Red Sox win. They take 3 out of 4 from the Blue Jays. 617-779-0985. I have a tendency to be negative, I admit it. And so, I don't know why, but it doesn't feel like they won 3 out of 4. And maybe it's because last night felt like a fake win. Am I alone in that, Murray? Did you catch any of that game last night?
Yeah, that was garbage.
Holy crap, was that awful.
Michael Chavis bailing him out.
So we'll get to Chavis, too, because, again, there are people that feel strongly about Chavis, and you should. Talk about a guy who's come and given the Red Sox a shot in the arm. Chavis has been pretty good. And they did win 3 out of 4 against Toronto. This is precisely the kind of thing they should be doing against bad teams, by the way, is going into a series like that. They win 3 out of 4. At a minimum, you're taking 3 out of 4. I didn't love the game last night, so that's where we're going to start. And again, Jimmy Stewart has opened the phone lines. So 617-779-0985. Last night, boy, last night was one of those games, and I have to admit, that with the Bruins being off and the Celtics being out, and last night was one of the few times I could sort of watch the late innings in particular and get an idea of how Cora was going to manage it. And boy, was I surprised. Because Cora... How many different guys have closed games now for Alex Cora? And it's May 23rd. So, look, I know Hembree has a save, although that was sort of extenuating circumstances. Brazier had the job and lost it. Barnes has closed. And last night, Marcus Walden on the mound. And that didn't go so well. So I look at the whole thing last night, though. I think the Red Sox had 5 relievers in the game, and 4 of them allowed a run. Murray, did you oil the wheel of gutless bums before last night's game or after? Did you oil it? Because it needs a good oiling after what happened last night.
No, they're going to break this thing by the middle of June, it feels like.
Wow, I thought we were spinning the crap out of that thing last year. This year, we haven't spun it enough. We're going to spin it a lot tonight, though. Jimmy, I tell you what, why don't we start right out of the gate with Brandon Workman? I mean, that seems like a logical...
Matt Barr!
You again?
Colton Brewer?
Who?
Ryan Brazier!
Brazzers.
And those other guys.
It's back for 2019. An all-new Wheel of Gutless Bums.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high-leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel!
Barr, Brazier, Thornburg,
Johnson, Johnson,
Thornburg,
Brazier,
Barnes, Hembree,
Work,
Johnson,
Thornburg,
Velasquez,
Hembree,
Johnson.
Today's gutless bum is...
A man at every base for Toronto. The 3-1 pitch. And a tie for ball 4. He's walked another, and this is going to force in a run. Galvis in to score, and that cuts it to 1-3-2. Cora making no move here. Mailey taking a bases-loaded walk, back-to-back walks. Barnes continues to throw in the bullpen.
Answer was Workman. Tonight's gutless bum is Workman. Ah, but he's not alone. No, 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 no. Eighth inning, spin it again, Jimmy.
The wheel.
Barnes, Thornburg, Johnson.
Today's gutless bum is...
Barnes home with a 2-2. There's a shot driven deep down the line. That is hit over the corner, and it is gone. Smoke with his seventh home run of the season. It's a one-run game again in Toronto.
Ha! Stop there! No way! Joker! Joker! And a triple!
Now, let's spin the wheel!
Barnes, Thornburg, Johnson, Cambry, Velasquez, Johnson. Today's gutless bum is...
A man at every base for Toronto. The 3-1 pitch. And a tie for ball four. He's walked another, and this is going to force in a run. Galvis in to score, and that cuts it to 1-3-2. Cora making no move here. Mailey taking a bases-loaded walk, back-to-back walks. Barnes continues to throw in the bullpen.
So you see what happened there? There were so many failures last night that we couldn't keep them all straight, Murray. For crying out loud, that's what happened.
Spin the wheel.
There's so many.
Yeah, exactly. Is that the one? Is that
Hang on, let me spin it again.
Yeah,
guys.
Spin it. What the hell? Why not?
Thornburg, Johnson, Cambry, Velasquez, Johnson. Today's gutless bum is...
The 1-1 to Jansen. Line drive to right field. That's going to drop down for a base hit. Here comes the run. Mookie knocks it down. The run scores. Toronto has tied it 4-4 in the ninth.
I mean, really, it was unbelievable. It actually got worse. I think Henry did it, too. Was that, how many blown saves last night? Three blown saves. Because in a couple of those, the Red Sox actually didn't fall behind. Workman, I think, was the worst of the lot by walking in a run. Honestly, I'll tell you, Brandon Workman is the most overrated guy in that staff. People talk about Brandon Workman like he's some type of find with that curveball. Look up his walks. Look up his what? The guy walks people constantly. Couldn't throw a fastball for a strike last night. So he blows it. Then Barnes gives up a home run, which allows another run to cross the plate. Again, didn't cost him the lead, but tightened up the game considerably. Then Walden. First save opportunity. I like Walden. He's been a good guy in that bullpen so far. I like what he's given them. He blows it. 4-4. They get an extra innings. They go ahead. You know what happens? Hembry blows it again. Two blown saves in the same game. And you know what happened? They won. Incredibly, blowing saves like that and getting the relief pitching they got, they won. It felt like a loss to me. It felt like a loss. I don't know. That bullpen, we had this discussion on the afternoon show. That bullpen's going to bite him in the ass. And I know that October is different, and I'm not even talking about October. I'm just saying that now they are chasing. And you can't blow games when you're chasing. It's one thing to have a shaky bullpen, or so you think, when you win 108 games. So think of that. They won 108 games last year. They got to the postseason, and then Alex Cora had so little faith in the bullpen that he used the starters as his primary setup man. Over and over, whether it was Price, Porcello, Evaldi, he did it. Last night, I don't know how they won that game. So they take 3 out of 4. That's a good thing. But man, it felt like a fake win. It felt like a loss. Today's game, I give him a lot of credit for because I gave him very little chance to win that game today with Ryan Weber on the mound. And if you say, who? Ryan Weber. I'll explain to you who that is in just a minute. And I'll tell you why I also like Ryan Weber. Kyle's in Shrewsbury. He kicks us off tonight. Kyle, what do you got?
Hey, how come they don't just re-sign Craig Kimbrell? Like, the bullpen has been absolutely awful. You talked about the blown saves. Why don't they just re-sign Kimbrell? Yeah, he wasn't awful last year. He'd help their bullpen a lot.
So, Kyle, before I let you go, let me just ask you, if I were to tell you that it was financial in nature, that they can't afford him, quote-unquote, okay, and I use that term very loosely, would you accept that as an answer?
Yeah, I would, but he's unsigned right now. He's not making any money this year. I think they can work a deal out with him.
Okay, So believe it. And listen, the reason I asked you the question the way I did is because I don't know that money should ever be an excuse for the Red Sox. Nonetheless, they don't want to go over $246 million on their payroll. Right now, they're between 238 and 240, somewhere in that window. So unless they get Kimbrel for like $3 million bucks for 4 months, I don't see them doing it. I don't. I think Kimbrel's going to get a better offer somewhere else, and you're going to see him sign here in the next couple of weeks. Because once you get to June, there is no longer any draft compensation attached to him, so some other team out there is going to give him a better deal. And he's going to go to that team. Someone's going to pick up Craig Kimbrel instead of making a midseason trade deadline acquisition. Because let's face it, if you were to add Kimbrel to your bullpen and you were a contender, you'd probably be pretty happy with that, especially if you were in a place that wasn't spoiled like we are and a place that needed to win. Like, you would look at that and say, hey, that's not a bad deal. Okay, I personally don't want Kimbrel, but I am surprised they didn't do more to fortify that bullpen than they did. If I had told you that you'd get to March 22nd, which is last night now, March 22nd, and Alex Cora was so uncertain about the state of his bullpen that he tried closing with Marcus Walden, you never, ever would have signed off on that bullpen. Not in a million years. Yet that's where they are. And again, incredibly, they blew two saves in that game last night. Two. One in the ninth, one in the 12th. And they won the game. I challenge you to find a game where that has happened for a team. I mean, that is unbelievably rare. So we'll get back to your call, 617-779-0985. We do have a couple of public minds. And I want to get to Michael Chavis from last night, too, because there are a lot of people that don't understand why Michael Chavis rubs me the wrong way. We'll try to articulate that for you and at the same time celebrate how he continues to bail out the Red Sox.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Matt.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High, deep drive into left center field. That one's way back there. Carrying, gone! And now Chavis has struck again, and the Red Sox are in the lead again.
I'm going to tell you something. You cannot leave a breaking ball over the heart of the plate to Chavis. You just can't do it. He's going to mash that pitch.
So that was the decisive blow in the game last night. Michael Chavis bails out the Red Sox again. His 10th home run. 10 home runs for Chavis. Great story. Kid in the minor leagues, sort of a bust of a first-round pick. Gets to the big leagues finally, and then, he's had a huge impact on the team. I think he leads the Red Sox in home runs now. Am I right in saying that? And that might have been true for a little while. I don't think anybody in the team has more home runs than Chavis does, so which is extraordinary considering the fact that Chavis really has not been here that long. I mean, it's amazing. I think he's in the top 25 in the league in home runs or something.
Mitch
like
Moreland has 13, Tony.
Oh, Moreland has 13, that's right.
Mitchie four bags.
I forget about Moreland, because Moreland hits 220. The only time he gets hits are home runs.
238 this year.
Okay. Nonetheless, I look at it, though, and I say the contribution Chavis has made is huge. Last night was another one. I just don't really like the guy all that much. Louis in a car. Louis, what do you think of Chavis?
Yeah, you know, Maz, I don't buy your reasoning about him being overconfident. Would you rather his knees be knocking at the plate and be wide-eyed and scared out there? And
no, I like the production.
Is a good thing.
Yeah, I like the production. I just don't like the sort of cocky attitude and the acting
athletes.
Like...
Those are athletes. They're going to be overconfident. That's how they are in their brain.
Okay, so I'm losing you, Louie. I'm going to let you go just because you're breaking up. If you want to call back, by all means. I'm not dropping you. Your signal's not strong. So, look, here's what I'll tell you about Chavis. Okay, because, again, I'm not telling you I mind the attitude in the clutch play. I just assume he keep it to himself. And when you say that's athletes, so they all act like that? Because I don't think Xander Bogaerts acts like that. Or even if he says it, he doesn't sound like Chavis does. Or there are other guys that J.D. Martinez doesn't sound like an overly cocky, arrogant, annoying guy to me. And so even last night, like the interview Chavis did talking about the home run, just the way he talks bugs me. Here's what
I didn't even have a hit up until that point, but I felt good. My swing felt good. I felt like I was just kind of missing pitches earlier, maybe trying to do too much. So just tried not to do too much. I mean, at this point, I have no hits. Might as well just try and get a knock. Threw me a little cutter slide or something like that. Stayed behind it, and I caught a barrel.
I mean, I don't know. Just, you know, something about might as well just try to get a knock. His tone bugs the crap out of me. I don't know why this guy bothers me so much, but he does.
It's becoming more apparent by the day, man.
Seriously, I don't know if it's because he's a rookie, and I think rookies sort of you treat like that old adage with children should be seen and not heard. Like, I sort of feel that way about rookies. You've been here for 10 minutes, dude. 10 minutes.
For me, the sport is desperate for players with talent and personality. He seems to have it. And I still know, look, I look at him with a grain of salt because of the 90-game suspension last year for the PED. So maybe this whole thing will fall apart. But for now, they'd be sunk without him. And I don't know. What he says really doesn't bother me.
So. Oh, no, he's been huge for them. In fact, like, you know, as I was saying, and Jimmy pointed out that Moreland has 13 home runs. I start to think about it. He might be their MVP. Like, if you were to say to me right now, who's the MVP of the Red Sox?
Oh, no, it's Michael Chavis. I don't think that's a stretch.
I mean, isn't that ridiculous? And doesn't that tell you sort of what kind of year they're having, too?
Yeah.
That a kid like that could come up and be arguably the most valuable player on the team? Because I think he might be Murray. I mean, it's either him or who? Devers?
Yeah.
It's got to be one of those two guys. Joe's in the car. Joe, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. How are you?
Good.
Tony, I've never heard this Douglas Bumsfield before today, and I just wanted to call in. When you were an actual baseball reporter, I don't think you'd ever call one of the players gutless. You're an entertainer. That's great. I'm all for that. But one of the worst things you can call a player is gutless. Maybe under-talented, but I don't think that they're gutless. They performed, for the most part, very well in the World Series last year. I just don't think that's fair.
So, Murray, do you want to take the call?
It was my bit. I came up with it last year. I'm surprised you never heard it. Hell, they even ended up shoving it down our throats, and they won the World Series in spite of it, and they turned it around. Yeah, it's probably unfair. It just is. It is what it is. I make no apologies.
Joe, don't take it so literally. Don't take it so literally. Okay, watching the game, the passionate fan is watching a guy give up a home run in the eighth inning, and you know what he says? Oh, you gutless puke.
Yeah, in a high leverage situation, with a couple of guys on, you need a strikeout to get out of the inning, it takes guts. And if they don't have that, they would be gutless.
And in his defense, he's right. When I was covering the team, I never, ever would have referred to a player as a gutless bum. Since that time, I've deteriorated as a human being, and I got into talk radio and got right down in the sewer.
Exactly.
So there you go. There's your answer.
You'd never say that in the clubhouse. You'll never see me in the clubhouse. That's why they have beat people. I'll sit here behind the microphone and hide.
I'll say it to people's faces. I once called somebody an average athlete.
That's true. Jimmy did say that to a professional wrestler. I thought the guy was going to like knock his head right down through his neck. Tim's in a car. Tim, what do you got?
Thank God I'm here.
Yeah, I think Kimbrel going to the Braves is a done deal. And for a couple reasons. One, the Braves are kicking around trying to overtake the Phillies. Their main closer when they start the season is out for the year, and then they just traded him for a guy that can't get anybody out. And Minter, their backup closer in the minors, he couldn't get anybody out. And I think they want Luke Jackson to set up, and they want to bring Kimbrel in to be the closer this year and next year here on out.
Okay, so look, I think that'd be a good place for him. That's precisely the kind of team that should go get Craig Kimbrel again, and I know that he started there. I'm just telling you that the Red Sox aren't going to do it. I'd be shocked if the Red Sox bring Kimbrel in. And the same breath, they have a need in that bullpen, and I'm surprised they didn't do more to fortify that bullpen during the offseason. You know what their big move was? Do you remember? Colton Brewer. How's that one working out for you?
Spin doctor is amazing.
Will's in Beverly. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today? So, Maz, have you ever heard the saying, don't look a gift horse in the mouth?
Sure.
Because yesterday you were saying how, you know, every win counts So, yes, it may not be pretty, but like you said as well yesterday, getting them going is important. So three out of the four, yes, not beautiful, but they got it. Secondly, I mean, you got to stop hating on Chavez. I mean, he said also that he might arguably be, if he had enough at-bats, the best second baseman in the league. So you got to give him a couple more chances to keep speaking. And, you know, just because he might sound cocky doesn't mean he is.
Okay, so again, I'm not telling you I want him out of the lineup or anything of the like. I'm just telling you I don't like him all that much. So, as you know, what I hear, I don't find him to be a likable player. You do because he hits the home runs for you. And Murray likes the brash attitude and the quotability. And look, I get some of that too. I mean, he's good audio. So I get that part of it. I'm just saying he's a human being. I don't know. Something about him bugs me. Nothing bugs me more than somebody who gets to like a high level at a young age and acts like they've been there the whole time. Like that, I don't know, for whatever reason, that is something that annoys me more than anything. It drives me absolutely freaking bananas. Except every once in a while, there is a young guy, and I don't know if this guy qualifies as young, but I had never even heard of Ryan Weber. Had you guys heard of Ryan Weber before today?
Absolutely not.
He was a starting pitcher for the Red Sox today in Toronto. He pitched the finale. Hector Velasquez stayed in the bullpen. Ryan Weber. He went six innings. He won the game. And you know what? He's got as many wins as Chris Sale does now, doesn't he? Doesn't Sale have one win or is it two?
I can see why Mike gets annoyed when you ask these rhetorical questions about stats.
It's one win, Tony.
Okay, so there you go. Ryan Weber has as many wins as Chris Sale does at this stage of the year. But you know what? That's not even the reason I really like him today. I'll tell you why. So he did something in that game that made me say, now there's a guy I like. We'll tell you what that was.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tellez doubled and scored his first time. Two strikes on the slugger. And that's going to drill him. So Tellez will take his base, and home plate umpire Shearwater will step out and warn both the Red Sox and Toronto.
What? Are you kidding me? Warn for what? An 0-2 pitch off the butt? Oh, this is going to make even the managers laugh. You got to be kidding me.
Well, Toyo's coming. This is very unusual. Alex Cora backs up. He had an argument going. But Toyo's coming out. Both have been warned. Remember how wild that Clayton Richard has been now. And he did hit a batter. Benintendi also threw a pitch right over his back. But I don't think anyone suspected anything.
Well, the other thing, too. No, absolutely not. You're exactly right, David. Here's a case where Tellez has been wearing out the Red Sox. It's an 0-2 count. He's trying to come inside. He hits him right off the right cheek. And you're going to warn somebody for that? Are you kidding me? That's horrible.
I think both managers have the exact same point of view on this.
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
I'm not sure why Stu Shearwater felt compelled to warn, but of course then comes the moment where what if someone else gets hit?
Size, he didn't even feel that. Yeah, my goodness.
So this happened in the game today in the event that you missed it. We told you a couple of nights ago, too, there was a little bad blood there with the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. Remember, Marcus Stroman on the mound. He quick pitched Michael Chavis in one point. He got a big out, I think, in the sixth inning. The Red Sox dugout was yelling out at Stroman. Cora said something that was relatively harmless in nature that seemed to draw the ire of the Toronto media. And then Stroman responded on Twitter, and I'm giving you a very sort of short version of it. So I'm just telling you there was something there at the beginning of the series that was unrelated to this. But today, okay, and when I say unrelated, I mean I think it just raised tension levels and got people a little worked up. So today, in the fourth inning of a 1-1 game with one out, and I'm sorry, I take it back, nobody out, man on first base, 1-1 game, and Ryan Weber on the mound. Ryan Weber, and if you've never heard of him, there's a reason. Weber's been in the minor leagues for the large majority of his career. I think he's 1-5 in his big league career. He's been with Atlanta. He began with the Braves. He was with Tampa. This guy is the definition of a soft-throwing journeyman. He throws 89 miles an hour. Okay, he's got a lot of movement on the ball and throws a lot of strikes, which I like, by the way. And he works fast, which I also like. And today on an 0-2 pitch in a 1-1 game with a man on first, he hit Rowdy Tellez right in the right cheek, as Jerry Remy noted on the Nissan broadcast. Right in the right cheek. And the umpire then gave warnings to both sides. Now, I just heard it there for the first time because, again, we were on the air this afternoon. Benintendi apparently got hit earlier in the game. So the umpire issued warnings. I don't have a problem with that. And let me, again, fill you in on a little more background. The last two games of the series, Tellez hit 3 home runs and I think had 6 or 7 RBI. He had 2 homers and 5 RBI in the blowout game on Tuesday. He had another one last night. And then today in his first at-bat, he doubled. So do I think Weber hit him on purpose? No. Do I think Weber threw inside with the idea of, I got to come in on this guy and at least maybe move him off the plate or try to hit the inside corner? And did he pull it too far to the left? Maybe. Whether he hit him on purpose or not, here's what I love, that he did it. This guy throws 89, and he's coming in on the hottest guy on the Jays and hits him right in the ass. I give a guy like that a lot of credit. And you know, by the way, if you look it up, this guy doesn't walk people. It's another thing that I love. He doesn't walk anybody. He throws a ton of strikes. So when you see this pitch hit a guy right in the ass from a guy who doesn't walk people, who's been hitting the crap out of the ball the last 3 days, and it comes after a Red Sox batter who's been hit, and the umpire issues warnings, I don't have a huge problem with it. Now, again, you say, well, he issued a warning. So what are the ramifications of that? Did anybody get thrown out of the game? I think the umpire just put everybody on alert. I'm watching for this. So don't do anything deliberate. It doesn't mean that someone automatically gets ejected if another batter is hit. And so Weber stayed in the game and, by the way, went 6 innings and got himself a win today. Now, I'm not telling you I think this kid can pitch. And I say kid, he's 28. He's not a prospect. I don't know if he can pitch, and it doesn't look like he's got great stuff. He's got good movement. But you know what? I give him a lot of credit. Guy like that comes up to the big leagues, even if he's pitching against a wretched offense, hits a guy, drills him right in the ass, and he's the guy that's been wearing you out, and then he goes 6 innings and you get a win. I give him a lot of credit. That guy can stay on my roster as long as he doesn't suck. I'll tell you what, he can be on my roster a hell of a lot longer than Tyler Thornburg can. Let's go to Dante in Linfield. Go ahead, Dante.
Hey, bro, when you and Tommy Quincy send out your wedding invitations, just make sure you shred mine. But finally, we get a ray of positivity, and it's about Ryan Weber. Ryan Weber, you couldn't trade Ryan Weber to Oklahoma State. And I don't know why you like him hitting Tellez in that spot. It's a 1-1 game with a runner on first. I was losing my mind.
So, Dante, I told you, I'm telling you that I like the fact. I'm not telling you I love from a baseball standpoint putting another runner on. I'm telling you that I love the fact that a guy who's 28, a journeyman, on the mound throwing 89, will come in there and drill someone in the ass. I love that.
Tony, when he hit Tellez, somebody had to tell him.
Someone had to tell Tellez, you mean?
Yeah.
So look, the guy couldn't break a pane of glass. I'm not disputing that point. I'm trying to tell you here, I like it. I thought that was a positive take. I'm surprised you get so upset about it. Reginald's in Weymouth. Reginald, what do you got?
You ever play Fortnite?
No.
Fortnite's the best game ever.
Okay, let's go to JD, who's in Somerville, and Michael Chavis. Go ahead, JD.
What's up, fellas? First time, long time. Love the show. All right, Maz, I don't understand your thoughts on Michael Chavis. I mean, even just now, I was going to bring up how you guys were getting on Price last year about being like kind of a loony, and you were talking about how you really were into like guys like Lackey, Beckett, you know, Pedro, who have this like kind of like ass-kicking sort of overconfident attitude. Someone, even like Weber, like him going in, like throwing hard to that guy, going in on that guy. And you being like, yeah, I'll keep him on my roster as long as he doesn't suck. And Chavis doesn't suck. He's got maybe kind of this overconfident attitude, but, like, I don't get it. Is it just, like, with pitchers you're okay with it? or what? Because I'm a little confused.
I mean, it's his mouth. It's his mouth. I just, he sounds cocky and annoying to me. That's all. So I'm telling you, if he just played and did what he's doing on the field, I'd love it. I'd love it. So, and if Ryan Weber says something after the game today that I find to be sort of, you know, idiotic for a guy who's a journeyman 28-year-old, I'll feel the same way. I'm just telling you, Chavis feels pretty cocky, like he's got all the answers to me for a guy who's been in the big leagues for, what, a month? I mean, how long's he been here? So I'm not telling you I dislike the player. I've said from the very beginning, hell, I said a little while ago, Chavis, I think, is the MVP of the team. It's him or Devers. One of those two guys have been the keys to the team so far. So I give him all the credit in the world for that. I just don't need to hear him tell me that he succeeds and excels in high-pressure situations because he was able to teach himself that in the minor leagues where other guys get nervous, he doesn't. I just feel like, dude, settle down. You've been here for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. So that's all. I could just do without the flapping of the gums. That's really all it is. John's in a car. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Maz, I want to go back to the Rockies game with Rodriguez last week. Rodriguez comes up, three lefties up, 8-9-1. I think he's close to 100 pitches. And single, double, top of the order, Blackman. And Cora doesn't go to the bullpen because, you know, he thinks Eddie can get it. And kind of feels like he doesn't feel like there's anyone in the bullpen that can get out a tough lefty. And what do you think they might need to do to go out and get a left-handed arm in the bullpen that they can really count on in a situation like that?
So, John, I'll tell you what, it's a good point, okay, because they don't really have someone that can get a lefty out. Now, they got righties with breaking balls who have good numbers against lefties, but you're talking, you know, Brazier didn't have great numbers. Brazier's been horrible against left-handed batters. Eddie Rodriguez is bad against lefties, too, although in theory he should be able to get them out, and he doesn't. But you're talking about the bullpen. I thought their primary need in the offseason was a power lefty. Now, everybody wants a power lefty in the bullpen, but there were a few on the market that I thought they could have had at a reasonable cost. They didn't go get those guys, and I thought that was a huge oversight. So what'll happen going forward? I don't know, but I'm glad you brought up Rodriguez. You're talking specifically about lefties, but if you remember against Houston on Friday night, there was a game where Cora also sent Rick Porcello out to the mound, and Porcello then, for the fourth time through the order, and Porcello then blew the game against Houston. That was on Friday night. Last night, Porcello was on the mound again, and this time they went to the bullpen in the seventh. And they basically blew the game again. Workman gave up a run in the seventh. Barnes gave one up in the eighth. And even though the Red Sox scored an additional run in there to pad their lead, Walden came in the ninth and blew the save. So at the moment, it does feel like Alex Cora is damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. He leaves Porcello into the game on Friday. Porcello blows it. They lose. He takes Porcello out after the sixth last night. His bullpen blows it. They went on to win the game, but they had to go 13 innings to do it. So the bullpen, my point ultimately is this, whether it's Eduardo Rodriguez and not having a lefty or the lack of confidence generally in the bullpen is leading to some instability on the part of the manager. Friday night, I believe that he sent Porcello out for the eighth in part because he didn't have great confidence in his bullpen at that moment. Then that came right after the Colorado series that you're talking about where they blew leads basically on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. So their bullpen's had a rough go of it in the last week. Okay, and that when I say that Cora has some instability there, I'm not blaming him. I think that this would happen to any manager who has his personnel. He's mixed and matched. He's trying to find an answer. And he told us in spring that it was up to them to just use the guys right. Wrong. You can't make chicken salad out of chicken crap. So to me, the problem is it right now is the arms in the bullpen and how they get out of that without adding pitching, I don't know. Just a reminder, typically we give you the Big Y matchup of the game, brought to you by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. The game was today. So we'll certainly have a matchup for you tomorrow night when the Red Sox play the Astros in Houston. We'll wrap it up with your calls next.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mass, 98.5.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How about Steve Pierce?
This is why the Red Sox won't get Steve Pierce.
The MVP of the series, plus 2,200. Steve Pierce is my long shot pick.
Steve Pierce, it's my pleasure to present to you the Willie Mays World Series Most Valuable Player Trophy.
This is the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night with Maz.
To play free fantasy baseball this season with promo code BOSTON when you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. Again, the code is BOSTON. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Again, the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night brought to you by DraftKings. There's only one night game tonight. It's the White Sox and the Astros. So you can't sort of go with your conventional formula. If you play one-day fantasy at all, you know that there is a showdown format where you pick, I think it's five or six players from one game. And you compete against other people also picking five or six players in that one game. So cost is not as much of an issue. You're really looking for the guy that can have the big night. A couple of right-handers going in Houston tonight in this game. Lucas Giolito for the White Sox is the better pitcher of the two. Has allowed only three home runs this year to all left-handed batters. So what I would say is if you're going to take players in that game tonight, go for the lefties. The two that stick out to me the most, Michael Brantley of the Astros and Yoan Moncada of the White Sox. Okay, so those are the two guys I would focus on in that game tonight. You know what? I was going to take another call, but honestly, I don't think we have enough time. Adam Jones is coming up here in a minute. If you're on the line, I apologize. You can call back tomorrow night. We'll get you in on Friday night heading into Memorial Day weekend, and there'll be plenty to talk about with the big series with the Astros coming in. Pac-Man, what do you got with Arcane here coming up?
Well, I'll start with bad news for both of you. You mentioned Memorial Day weekend. I think people may already be on the roads and celebrating Memorial Day weekend. I think that may be going on.
Jim Murray Periscope?
Could be a big Jim Murray Periscope situation because it is slow moving out there. A lot of people taking a four-day weekend, it feels like, out there.
Not surprised.
In the city of Boston.
I'd like to be one of them.
You know what it could be, though, Maz? It could just be everybody going to, I think the crown jewel of Bruins School Spirit Week. That would be the pep rally tonight. That would be... where I think the Bruins are going to announce, I'd imagine, homecoming king and queen. Chaperones are on their way to the big dance tonight. So it's going to be an exciting night, I think, at TD Garden. I don't know if you guys are hashtag team white or hashtag team black. We're going to cover that thing, really dig in on it, and make sure that you guys are up to speed on everything happening at the Garden tonight because it's a pretty big event.
Beer's going to be between the glass?
Yeah, we'll check in with both Bob Beers and Judd Surratt. We'll be live on the scene all night long getting in-game breaking updates. Again, will it be team white? Will it be team black?
Can't wait. Okay, Murray's got your headlines. Everybody have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.